and welcome home. You know, that is a way here at Trinity that we like to let you know that we are so glad that you are with us, whether you're here for the first time or you are here all the time. My name is Steve Price. I'm one of the pastors here, and if you are new today, we're especially glad to welcome you as our guest. Would love to invite you, if you would, to tell us a little bit about yourself. You can do that by filling out the Connect card that you'll find in your worship bulletin. And then a little bit later in the service, you can place that in the offering plates. And if you're here regularly, if you'll just put your name and your email address on that card, that's very helpful as well. Every week here at Trinity, there is an opportunity for us to give to a mission that extends beyond the church. This week's mission is Smile Train. There's some information about that in your bulletin. I'll just say that as the father of a child who was born with a cleft palate, and as someone who has gone to Angola and seen children living in villages without medical attention to address cleft palates and lips, I am so grateful for this ministry that reaches into many countries all around the world. And so I invite you to support and give generously that mission today. You can do that by placing those special offerings in the boxes that you will see as you exit from worship this morning. And just a reminder that today we are receiving diapers for swag. Every week during the month of July, we're doing a special tangible offering in addition. And the donation box is out by the Welcome Center if you'd like to place a gift there. Well, I am reminded as we begin worship today of the lines of a chorus that I love that goes like this. Your love never fails. It never gives out. It never gives up on me. Isn't it good news to know that God's grace is unrelenting and is always welcoming us back home, no matter how far we get away? And so I'm glad that you've come today as we reflect today on that unrelenting grace and goodness of God. Would you stand and say good morning to someone close to you as we prepare to worship today?
Please remain standing as you are able, and let us worship God together as we sing our opening hymn, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise Him, for He is thy help. Salvation. All ye who hear, now to His temple draw.
gracious and almighty God, we are here to sing your praises and to worship you. Pour out your spirit on us who are gathered here. May we be transformed in your presence, renewed in every possible way, to go forth and bring the good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Will you join me with affirming our faith with the words that we see? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is one true church, apostolic and universal. Let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin. Death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love and set forth in the example of the Lord to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Opportunity now to go to God in prayer, sharing our joys and our concerns. As we do, we wanted to share with you the list of names of those we've been visiting in the hospital and rehab. And if there's someone's name that you think should be there that isn't, please just let us know and be sure to add them. In addition, we have great news. We have 3 mission trips going on right now. Our high schoolers left yesterday for ASP, the Appalachian Service Project. I think that's what we decided it was called this morning. They left yesterday, and then we have another team in Guatemala, and this afternoon, after lunch, our middle schoolers and the adults will be headed off to Youth Works in Savannah, Georgia. We will be commissioning them at our 11 o'clock service, and I encourage you to keep each and every one of these teams in your prayers this week. As we go to God in prayer, we'll begin with a time of silence so that you can lift to God your joys and concerns, and then I will lead us in prayer as we pray together, and then we will pray the Lord's Prayer at the end. Let's pray. And loving God, thank you that no matter where our lives lead us, we can be confident that you are with us and you are for us. Your cross proves your love for us, and your resurrection proves that in all things we are made more than conquerors through our faith in Jesus Christ. For those among us who are seeking direction, may you give them both wisdom and discernment. For those whose relationships have been strained or where trust has been fractured, allow forgiveness to lead and your grace to abound, paving the way for lasting and meaningful reconciliation. For those who are in need of healing, body, mind, or spirit, may you lead them towards eternal wholeness and well-being in Christ. For all those who will be serving on mission this week, and especially for our youth and adults that will be commissioned at our 11 o'clock service, we pray, empower these people to be your hands and feet. Help them to glorify you by serving others. Send them into the world to feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, and warm those who are cold. by their actions and words. Make them a witness of your great love and your passion for rescuing all people. Protect them. Teach them. Support them as they take this next step in their own journey to becoming the people you want them to be. Fill them with the Holy Spirit and enable them to do their tasks faithfully and joyfully. And bring them safely home. And then let their experience further enrich us so that we too will glorify you by serving our community in the love of Christ. For all of us, no matter where we find ourselves along our journey of faith, may we learn to trust you in the seemingly mundane, as well as the monumental and even the catastrophic details. Help us to believe and to embody the good news that you are always at work, redeeming all things, making all things new in Christ. May that revelation enable us to increasingly trust you farther than we can see, as we pray together the words Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Having united our hearts and minds in prayer, please remain sitting and join your voices with us in our prayer song, Grace Greater Than All Our Sins.
Yeah.
expression of our faith and worship. It makes ministries possible in the life of this church that affect not only the people who are a part of this church, but people out in the community and the world. I'm struck by the fact that right now we have nearly 100 people out in mission, and your generosity is one of the ways that is made possible. And so let me invite you to pray with me today as we pray over the gifts that we will share this morning in worship. Holy God, giver of all good gifts, we thank you for the abundance of your blessings in our lives, and pray that you will now take what we offer as a response of faith back to you and use it in ways that bring hope and healing to others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I am guilty.
the unexpected journey of Genesis. Last week, we learned a little bit in one of the stories of Isaac and Abraham and his son Isaac. And this week, we continue the story looking at Isaac and Rebekah's twin sons, Jacob and Esau, and their birthright and their blessing. As I began to look at the relationship between these two brothers, it made me think about birth order and blessing and how they can affect who we are. I was the middle of three girls, three daughters in my family, and in between the three of us, we have seven children, the cousins, as we call them. I remember when the very first was born, my older sister had her first child, and we all rushed there to see Richard after he was born. And it was so wonderful. He was the center of all of our attention. I remember that when he had his first bath in the kitchen sink, we all gathered around to watch. And he screamed, and I wonder why, because all of these faces were hovering over him. And when Richard went to bed, then we were all silent so as not to wake him. And when he was awake, we were all gathered around, oohing and aahing over every single facial expression. He had his every need immediately met. Well, 16 years later, when the last, the seventh of the cousins was born, we did the same thing. We descended on my younger sister's house in Washington, D.C., and we were all there to celebrate his birth and a week later his baptism. It was wonderful. But you know, as the third child in my younger sister's family, and as the seventh and last of the cousins to be born, things were a little bit different. How we treat the first is definitely different than how we treat the next, which is definitely different than how we treat the last. So, let me give you an example. One evening, we were in D.C. that very first week, and I looked around and I realized there were several adults in the kitchen, and my parents were in the living room, and somebody was on the computer, and there were six kids and teenagers running around the house, and I couldn't find Landon anywhere. And I went into the kitchen and I said to my younger sister, his mother, "Hey, where is Landon, this week-old child?" And Susie said, "Well, I think he's asleep in his car seat on the floor in the corner of the dining room," which he was. And I went in and scooped him up. How different it is with the first and the last. Landon's position, just based on his birth order, was somewhat already established in life, the way he would be, his personality. As the third and last child in Susan's family and the seventh and last of the cousins on this side of the family, he was destined to be a laid-back, go-with-the-flow, sleep-through-anything, I'll holler if I need you kind of child. We treat the first one very different than the last. And as a result, the first and the last end up often being very different. You know, in Genesis times, the first child, the first son, I should say, was treated very differently than all of the others. There was a definite order to things. Automatically, the firstborn male in the family would receive significantly more of the inheritance than any of the other children and would often receive the parental blessing as well. At least that's the way it was supposed to be. But in our scripture reading for today, we find out that the pecking order, the societal norms, the conventional way of doing things are flipped upside down. God has a different way of doing things. So I want to invite you now to read along with me on the screens with our scripture reading. It's from the 25th chapter of Genesis, and we begin the story of Isaac and his children. These are the descendants of Isaac. Abraham's son. Abraham became the father of Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, the daughter of the fool, the Aramean, and the sister of Laban, the Aramean, from Paddan Aram. Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife, since she was unable to have children. The Lord was moved by his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. But the boys pushed against each other inside of her, and she said, "If this is what it's like, why did this happen to me?" So she went to ask the Lord, and the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb. Two different peoples will emerge from your body. One people will be stronger than the other. The older will serve the younger." When she reached the end of her pregnancy, she discovered that she had twins. The first came out red all over, clothed with hair, and he was named Esau. Immediately afterwards, his brother came out, gripping Esau's heel, and he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when they were born. When the young men, we fast forward a little bit, when the young men grew up, Esau became an outdoorsman. He knew how to hunt. And Jacob became a quiet man who stayed at home. Isaac loved Esau because he enjoyed eating game. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Once when Jacob was boiling stew, Esau came in from the field hungry and said to Jacob, "I'm starving. Let me devour some of this red stuff, this wonderful stew that you're making." That's why his name is Edom, which means red. Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright today." Esau said, "Since I'm going to die anyway, die of starvation, what good is my birthright to me?" Jacob said, "Give me your word today." And he did. He sold his birthright to Jacob. So Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew. He ate, drank, got up, and left, showing just how little he thought of his birthright. This is the word of God to the people of God, and God's people saying, thanks be to God. So as we continue on this unexpected journey with these stories about Jacob and Esau, and then next week, or in a couple of weeks, continuing with Joseph and his brothers, it's as if we are snooping around in the attic, looking through musty boxes, and we come across birth certificates and marriage licenses and death certificates. We uncover legal papers about divorces and wills. We're privy to journals and letters that were unintended to be read by anyone else. These are the stories of the real stuff of life, the messiness of what it means to live in family and live in relationship with one another. As the story goes, from the very beginning, Rebecca could tell that something was wrong. These two boys are fighting. They are struggling within her, and so she prays to God. And God says, "They're struggling because within you there are two nations. These two boys will be divided, and the older will serve the younger." A true reversal of the anticipated order of things. And these two boys were very different. Esau, whose name means red or ruddy, was rough and ready. He was an outdoorsman and a hunter. He was the first in line when the Bass Pro Shop opened in town. Whereas Jacob, which means heel grabber, Jacob was a homeboy. He loved being at home. His favorite shows were Chopped and Iron Chef. And he loved being in the kitchen. And he wanted to stay close to home and close to his mother. Isaac favored Esau, and Rebecca loved Jacob. Jacob was a mama's boy. Esau also was not the brightest bulb in the box, or at least we can say he didn't typically have a lot of foresight. Because you remember, Jacob, whose name was heel grabber, could also act like a heel. And so true to form, one day when Esau comes in from the field, he says that he is starving to death, and he smells Jacob making this wonderful bowl of lentil soup. And so cunning that he is, Jacob says to Esau that he will give him that bowl of soup if Esau will sell him his birthright. Now, Jacob then is able to con his brother out of his birthright, which is a double portion of the family inheritance, simply in exchange for a bowl of soup. Esau wanted instant gratification, and he was willing to exchange it for something more distant but immensely more valuable. Thus, it's from this story that we get our saying, he sold his birthright for a mess of pottage. And Jacob swindles his brother out of his birthright, a double portion of his father's inheritance. Later, we also hear another story that we didn't read this morning, but it kind of continues this story of Jacob, at his mother's urging, tricking his father into giving him a blessing. Jacob's father, Isaac, is on his deathbed. He is very elderly. He is frail and fragile. He is blind. And he calls Esau to him. And he knows Esau by touch because Esau is very hairy. And so he says to Esau, go out and go bow hunting and bring me back a deer and prepare a meal so that I can have my last meal. And if you do this, I will give you my blessing. As your father, I will give you this blessing. And so Esau heads out into the woods to go hunting. And Jacob goes immediately to the freezer and takes out some venison and prepares a meal and brings it in and gives it to his father. And he poses with some animal hair, he poses as his brother. And then what happens? Isaac gives Jacob the blessing. Jacob, who conniving and deceit, has now stolen both his brother's birthright and his brother's blessing. You know, the fascinating thing to me is that presumably Jacob didn't need to do either of those two things. While he was still in his mother's womb, God had told Rebecca that the boys were struggling within her because they would be divided. And the older, God said, Esau, will serve the younger, Jacob. The Lord made it clear from the beginning that the natural order of things would be reversed. Jacob would live a very fortunate life, and Jacob would receive God's blessing. So the first lesson that we learned this morning is that God's way is often different. And God has a way of turning things upside down. God is free to work in ways that fly in the face of everything conventional and proper. God often reverses the normal organization of the world. And here God does the same. God doesn't become aligned to the obviously valued one, the firstborn son, but instead chooses the younger. God makes it obvious that the younger will be the one who will be blessed. God chooses and calls. And yet, where our free will comes in. You know, we firmly believe in free will, that God has given us free will. God doesn't give precise and exacting shape to the future. Jacob has a role to play as well. And thus, this story makes it clear that God's purposes are worked out in and through real human beings called by God. Jacob was chosen. And Jacob was to be blessed. But we still see that in spite of that, and perhaps even because of that, Jacob is determined to always grasp for more, to always be striving, to be unrelenting in his struggle for position and blessing. He's always struggling with God in order to get that blessing and birthright that he's been promised. Isn't that just like us? We think we have to wrestle and wrangle, to push and to pull, to squeeze and to strangle. We think we have to be unrelenting in our striving to hold our lives together. We think that it all depends on us, when it really all depends on God. In our wrangling, we also often sometimes really mess things up. Because of Joseph's actions, the scripture tells us that Esau hated Jacob. He actually wanted to kill Jacob. And so, therefore, Jacob has to run. At his mother's urging, he goes and skips town and goes into hiding. And that's when we learn what I feel like is the end of this chapter. Jacob escapes into the wilderness, and it is there that he is all alone. And night comes, and he puts his head down on a rock for a pillow, and he begins to dream. The dream that we know of affectionately as Jacob's ladder because of the song. But it really wasn't a ladder. It was really stairs. And Jacob wasn't climbing the ladder or the stairs up to God in the dream. No, instead, as angels are descending and ascending, God appears to Jacob. And God tells Jacob that God is in effect coming down to Jacob. God says, now, and I will protect you wherever you go. I will not leave you until I have done everything that I have promised. Isn't that just like God? God's entry into the world overturns our human values and works in spite of and even through our unrelenting human strivings. Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Ruth and Rahab and Mary, the mother of Jesus, are all chosen contrary to expectations and contrary to normal convention. And God's purposes come to fruition in Jesus Christ, born lowly, and as God says, pulls down the powerful from the throne and lifts up the lowly. God's purpose also continues to be embodied in the church, in this church, in the church with a capital C, where God chooses what is foolish to shame the wise, and what is weak to shame the strong. God comes to us in our conflict and in our confusion. world upside down and pours out blessing. And therefore, as it says at the end of that story about Jacob's ladder, we can say, surely, surely, the presence of the Lord is with us. Gracious God, we give you thanks for your unrelenting presence in our lives, for your blessing that you pour out on us so freely. Forgive us when we struggle, when we strive, when we wrestle with you. Don't live as you would have us live. Oh God, we are grateful that you use what is weak. You use what is broken. You use every misstep that we make to continue to shape us into who we are and to work through us for your purposes in our life. Oh God, we give you thanks for your grace, for your unrelenting grace. For Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Table of communion is a place of extraordinary forgiveness, a place where we are reminded weekly of God's love for us and God's desire to be in relationship with us. No matter where we have strayed, no matter where we have failed, no matter how many times we have tried to take things into our own hands, God keeps welcoming us. We remember that Jesus gathered some friends around him during his ministry who were just ordinary people. And they failed, they stumbled, and they got up again. And Jesus kept inviting them to follow him. And on the night before he died, he shared a final meal with them. And he took bread that night and broke it. He shared it with them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." After the meal, he took a cup and gave thanks and shared it with them and said, "Take and drink all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." Gracious and merciful God, may we come today with grateful hearts to this table that you have set for all of your children. Pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts, the bread and the cup, so that as we come to receive, we might recognize the real presence of Christ in these gifts for us. May we be nourished, and may we rise to go out as one people bound together by your love to serve your church and rule. Until that day, we will all see you. place where everyone finds gracious welcome. And so this morning we invite you to come to the pair of servers that's in front of your section. You'll come out the left side of your row. Come forward with hands ready to receive the gift of bread. Take the bread and dip it into the cup and then call in attention. And then you'll receive the elements together. Afterwards, you can spend time, if you'd like, in the prayer at the kneeling rails here, or simply return to your seat on the other side of the section. Everything is ready. Almighty God, we give you thanks for this meal by which you have fed your children. Now may we go out into the world to live in response to your love, following the example of Jesus Christ.
your promise to us that your grace is enough. Please stand and join us in our closing song.